Hey, my brother.
Ladies, what's up? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 94 Speak On It. I am your host, Danny Ocean, as always, joined by the smoothest man on the planet, Losty Mix, coming into some SZA. You went to her show recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to her show on Saturday night. Saturday night, me and my sister went to the SZA concert.
Whew. How was it?
Are we talking about how was she or how was the performance?
How was the performance?
The performance was spectacular. SZA has an incredible voice. She's a really good performer. I thought she did a really, really good job. So I think she put on a hell of a show. So shout out SZA. But aside from that, I will say that SZA looks incredible in person.
Gotta let the lust take over.
Listen, I respect my rappers out here and I love rap shows, but there is something to be said about these R&B singers and these songstresses because even the female rappers, the lady rappers, something about seeing them in person that makes you just be like, whoo, Lord have mercy. there is some money behind this beauty and glam, because Lord have mercy.
Please call the horny police. It's only seven.
Call the horny police. They might have a 10-4 out on me. They might have a, you know what I'm saying? They might have a 1287 on me. But just know, if the horny police come for me, they better come correct.
Pause.
Nah, unpause me. Unpause me. Yo, I'm comfortable with my sexuality. And also, if I was if I was a bi or a gay man, I want to let some of y'all men know out here, y'all would not be able to afford me. So what's up?
As much as you say pause. No. I will not unpause you because you say pause to me more than anyone. I only hear pause from you.
Yeah, but like, what did my mom used to tell me? What was my mom used to tell me? Do as I say, not as I do. So I'm gonna keep on pausing these because sometimes some things be sounding like crazy when you hear them. Like when someone says like I'm itching for you and I'm like whoa. Yo, you know what's funny? Do the pause rules extend to the workplace? Like, would you say pause to someone if they said something wild in the workplace?
Nah, I'm not risking my job. I would not say pause at the workplace. Nope.
But is that
I would just say like, whoa. You know what?
So my question is.
Depends on the person, because I have said pause at work, but only to certain people who understand.
Okay, so my question then is it bad to say pause at the workplace if you don't mean it? Like if you're talking to a dude and you know the dude you're talking to is a straight man, and y'all like having lunch, and he says something like, "Yo, let me get a piece of that," in reference to like your lunch, and you kind of look at it and you say, "Whoa, hey," hit him with the "Hey, yo, pause." That's wild.
It depends on the person.
Or if you sipping some water at the table with your coworker be like, "Yo, can I get a sip of that?" Hey, yo.
Like, I would just say no.
But first off, sharing food and drinks with coworkers is wild. Just to begin.
Yes. We should not be doing that. That is, yeah. That's more than a pause. I don't know what we would call that, but I would say pause at work if I was comfortable with that person and they understood it is a joke and it's not rooted in anything.
I also want to let it be known, and then we can kind of we can jump into some housekeeping items here. I also want to let it be known, people, that your coworkers are not your friends. And if your coworkers happen to be your friends, that means y'all should definitely establish a coworker time and friend time. Like in coworker time, this is all work. Don't take nothing personal. Like, I got love for you. In friend time, we friendly. But if you're friends with your coworkers, just know y'all got to teeter that line. But most of the time, just know your coworker is not your friend. And if they got to choose between you and them in terms of throwing who under the bus, just know I have yet to meet anyone that I've ever worked with that will throw their own ass under the bus.
Yes, I agree. And then the second thing about coworkers is, I don't care how fine they are, do not sleep with your coworker. All right, so this show's about to you by
Listen, This show is brought to us by who?
By goingfortwo.com. Head over to goingfortwo.com for all your daily fantasy needs. Dynasty drafts are around the corner. Get some tips, D. We can talk, if we have time later tonight, we can talk about our Dynasty League and the draft debacle and the draft fiasco. Again, head over to goingfortwo.com for all your fantasy needs. Play Underdog Fantasy with the Going For Two. Head over to, for those of you who are watching the live or watching the replay, scan that QR code, head over to Underdog Fantasy, and you get up to $100 deposit match. For those on the audio adventure, go to Underdog Fantasy, use promo code GF2. That is G as in going, F as in four, and the number two, and you get up to $100 deposit match. D, the chat is on fire, and we are just getting started. The people are very interested in. Whoa, people are very interested in coworkers and sleeping with their coworkers. Gladys said, "Work in a bar, baby." Whoa,
Gladys, as someone who's dated a woman who is a bartender and has some previous experience with women and other previous experiences with women who've worked in bars, I will say that. Let's just say working in the restaurants, you never know. You don't know how many people, how many coworkers sleep together until you work in like a restaurant. Everybody's fucking at a restaurant. Fellas, if your girl works in a restaurant, I'm going to let you know there's like a 60 or 70% chance that she is serving some things up other than food and drinks. I'm going to tell you right now. You think she's serving up them quesadillas and burgers. She's serving a little bit of salmon on a plate.
All right, Jamie said that he, you know, we're not doing this. We're not planting seeds of insecurity in people tonight. Jamie said that he messed up.
You think she bringing out them shamrock shake, but she's shaking something else around that bar. Fellas, protect your mental health, brother. And shout out to the ladies out here who work in bars because y'all are incredible. And make sure you always tip your bartender.
No, don't.
Yo. Oh, shout out to everyone. Shout out to everyone in the chat, though. I see Gladys. I see Jamie. I see Bam. I see Keely just hopped in. He said if she works, I think Keely said if she works in the restaurant, she might work for the streets. I'm not going to confirm or deny that. Bam said if your girl works at a fire station with the sad emoji. Bam, if your girl works at a fire station, I'm actually mad curious about her day-to-day. Like, was she? Never mind. Danny, today we are going to be talking about, we're going to start off in the NFL. Obviously, right after our recording last week, Aaron Rodgers met with Pat McAfee. We're going to dive a little bit into that. We're going to talk about what this means potentially for the AFC. We're also going to talk about some other free agent moves and what we're thinking about them. Then we're actually going to shift a little bit to the UFC and talk a little bit about Kamaru Usman and Leon Edwards as they finish off their trilogy, and also talk about some of our favorite sports trilogies out here. And then we're going to shift over, of course, the basketball, starting with the NCAA tournament for both the men and the women. And then we're going to continue our look ahead to the end of the NBA regular season. And on the back end, we'll finish with a few quick hitters. I know both of us really want to talk about Rick Pitino getting a new job and what that means for privileged white men. So let's start off in the world of the NFL and football. Danny, right after our conversation last week, literally maybe a day or so after, Aaron Rodgers announces he's going on the Pat McAfee show. Shout out, Pat McAfee. Love your show. You're doing great things. But essentially, he goes on Pat McAfee's show and confirms to the people that he does intend to play next year, not for the Green Bay Packers. And in actuality, he is looking for a trade to the New York Jets. And as of right now, Aaron Rodgers says the only thing that's holding up this trade is the compensation that the Packers would get via this trade. So, Danny, I'm going to start by asking you one question. Who do you think has the leverage here between the Jets and the Packers now that Aaron Rodgers has put this information out?
You talked about it last week. I don't know if you talk about it on air, if you and I talk about it off air. It's the Packers. Packers have all the leverage in the world. I know Aaron wants to leave. I know he wants to go to the Jets and the Jets alone. So the Jets, you're going to give me whatever the fuck I want for this dude if you about winning the way you said you are. Because you can't do this, flop on Aaron Rodgers and turn to Zach Wilson and be like, hey, man, you QB1. Can't do it. You got to go get Aaron.
Listen, I definitely think we might have chatted about this last week on air. I said right now, and it's sort of similar to how I kind of picturing it, planning out last week when I talked about it. I said the one thing that could happen here is that Rodgers comes out and says he wants to trade, and that the trade, like, he wants to go to the Jets. And essentially now you're on a one-on-one with the Jets, essentially. You're letting everyone else know, hey, I want him. This is our guy. And now, if you're the Jets, you kind of have to make this deal for multiple reasons. One, you, to your point, you can't make this noise. You can't get behind all this backing of supporting Aaron Rodgers and then let this deal fiddle out, because it's hard to go back to Zach Wilson now and tell him, yo, you're the QB of our future. Wouldn't surprise me right now if they're also trying to figure out a way to get Zach Wilson included in that deal too. Sorry, Zach. We good. We got our QB. Two, I think the Jets owe it to Jets fans. You have already sold this idea of Aaron Rodgers to not only the rest of the team. We saw some of the players tweeting it out, but you sold this to your Jets fans. And if one thing I know about Jets fans, they're not Giants fans in the sense that they've seen their team win in the last 20 years at least twice. The Jets haven't seen their team win since Joe Namath was playing quarterback. That should say something. That should let you know the Jets fan base, Jets Nation is hungry for a win. They're hungry for some success. So there's a lot of pressure on the general manager, on the coaching staff, and on the ownership by the Jets faithful and the Jets season ticket holders to get this deal done, especially if you want to put asses in seats next season, because I think without Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to have a good football product to really put out there on the field. I also think the third reason why I think the Jets have to get this done is I think the Jets owe it to their players. They saw what this football team looked like last year with very subpar QB play, and the Jets are looking at it as, we have a very young defense. We have the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. We only have, what, 2 or 3 years max with this core roster to potentially try to win a championship before someone here has to get paid, and that's before someone like a Quinnen Williams has to get paid potentially. We have to maximize this the best we can. We got to make this trade. So I think the Packers have a lot of leverage. So now my question is, if you're the Packers, remember I talked about this last week. If you're the Packers, you're telling them there are certain players that have to be included in this deal. Like I told you last week, if you're going to take my best player, I want your best player. You told me last week that might be crazy. I want to revisit it and say, hey, it's not as crazy as you may think. You want Aaron Rodgers? That's cool. That's cool. Let us have Quinnen Williams and your first round pick. Rodgers is yours. That would be me, though.
That would be you. That sounds like you.
Let's just say this trade happens, right? Let's just say Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Jets. We don't know what the compensation will be. Let's assume it's a little bit more fair on the Packers side than it is the Jets side. Where do you think this leaves the rest of the AFC with Aaron Rodgers now in it?
It moves the needle a little bit, but I don't think it moves the needle enough to make a lot of noise. Even with Aaron Rodgers, are the Jets even the best team in the AFC East?
Let's talk about it.
Could they go toe-to-toe with the Dolphins or the Bills? Maybe. Like, at best, you're a wild card team. Like, you do this move, right? It's Aaron Rodgers, right? But you're expecting a 40-year-old man to play at an MVP level, because that's what he's going to play at if the Jets legitimately have a shot to make a noise in the playoffs. You got to go through Josh twice. You got to go through Miami's defense twice. And even if you get through that, Joe Burrow's right there. Patrick Mahomes is there. Justin Herbert is there. I don't get to join up, but he's still Russell Wilson. He's there. Lamar Jackson is there. Like, there's a murderer's row standing in front of it. It's Aaron Rodgers. You do the deal. Like, I'm not saying you don't do it, but definitely. Does it, like, if they get Rodgers, am I like, oh man, the Jets are coming out the AFC? Nah, I don't think they're coming out the AFC. Like, at best, they're a wild card team to me.
See, I don't even want to, before I even go into like what this means as a conference, let's stick in the division where you started at. Yo, even if you get this trade done, you're going to lose, in my opinion, you're going to lose some pieces, whether that's on offense or defense. You're going to lose a good player that you, one of your best 22. One of your best 22 players you're going to lose in this deal, and likely some draft capital. So now my question is, do you think the roster that'd be left would be enough to, one, beat the Dolphins at least one time? Because you would have to be successful in your division, let's just say you have to split with everyone. Yeah. You just win three games. Let's say you win two games on the road, two games at home, one divisional game on the road. That means you'd have to start by splitting with the Dolphins. Well, just off of just off the matchups last year, the Dolphins are not really the best matchup for the Jets. It's tough to defend that much speed on the field. Okay, yep. So y'all split that matchup. So now you got to see how you match up against the winners of that division and the Buffalo Bills. Well, I would say from 1 to 53, some may say the Bills may have a better 1 through 53 than the Jets do. So now it's about quarterback play. I know what Aaron Rodgers could brings to the table. I know what he does for a franchise, but does he do enough for the Jets franchise to power them over the Bills? I'm not quite sure about that. And then the team that you kind of skipped over, like they some hoes, I think is going to be their biggest adversary, the New England Patriots. We all know, if you know football, since Tom Brady left, the New England Patriots are not going to put a Dolphins or a Bills like offense on the field, but they are easily going to put the best defense in that division out on the field. So now, yeah. Can your offense outthink a Bill Belichick defense enough to win twice? Because I think they would have to sweep the Patriots and win one game against the Dolphins and or the Bills. I think that's hard just in your division. So now you're looking, as you mentioned, at a wild card spot. Now let's open this bad boy up some. Let's assume Lamar will be back with the Ravens. Does this move put you over the hump to be able to maybe beat the Ravens in Baltimore if it came down to it in the wild card race? Does this Jets team put you in a position to go to Kansas City or have Kansas City come to you, you know, in a late season game in order to lock up your wild card spot, assuming that's where you're headed? Is the same team good enough to beat the Bengals, who are likely going to be the class of the AFC North? Does it put you in a position where you can compete with the Steelers, who are always going to field a good enough team that can be competitive? Is this roster going to be good enough to go toe to toe with the Browns, who are a lot better than their record shows? They just didn't have consistent QB play, and they were dealing with a lot. I'm not even going to mention the other team. Well, no, I did mention. That's all the teams in the AFC North. So then does this put you over the edge to beat a Justin Herbert and the Chargers? Like, this is – the AFC is not where it's sweet. If I'm a QB, I want to get traded to the NFC because there's little bit more wiggle room depending on where division and where roster you go to. Does this roster put you in a position where you could even take on the best team in the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they're still the team to beat? I don't know. There's a lot of question marks on the roster. And another thing is, if the thing in Green Bay was you wanted better receivers, or maybe you didn't like the communication, or maybe you were going there for Nathaniel Hackett and what his offense can do. Well, now I have to ask, in the conversation of other offenses in the AFC, where does this put you in a position competitively where you can honestly compete? I don't know, if as I'm looking at this Jets roster, if they can honestly compete in the AFC. But I guess for me, the needle for me is probably this. It inches a little bit the Jets way, but it doesn't move the needle completely for me, because when I think of the totality of the AFC, that's still a very, very tough conference. Very, very tough conference.
I'd like to take a second to read some of the Jets opponents next year that aren't in the division. Cowboys, the Broncos, let's see, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Browns.
So they play both teams that were in the Super Bowl. You said they play the Bengals?
No, they don't play the Bengals. They play the Browns, Eagles, and this is teams that aren't in a division. Browns, Eagles, Chargers, Chiefs. Let's see. And then they play the Cowboys, the Broncos, and they play the Raiders. There are some other teams in there that I won't mention because they're really not that good. But yeah, for the most part, the Jets are going to have hard games every single week.
It's tough, whether it's in the division or out. That's tough. So you can only hope that if you're the Jets and Rodgers, that whatever team that you're left with after this trade is able to compete. My thing is, without leaving enough ambiguity out there for the Packers to consider that you may be trying to make this trade with somewhere else. Once you make it known that, once you make it known that Rodgers is our guy and that's who we're trading for, you're locked in, buddy. Y'all got to get this deal done. Hey, Quinnen Williams, you're going to look great in another shade of green. That's all I got to say.
Was that a pause moment? That felt like a pause moment.
And how? He's going to look great in another shade of green?
I don't know. It just didn't feel right. Maybe that's just me being overly pausing.
Y'all see him? He's trying to be the pause police. Don't even know what he's pausing. Nah, play me. Bam said, if the price of Rodgers is too high, might as well go sign Cam. If you're saying Cam Newton, Bam, I'm just going to say that is criminal activity and don't wish that upon Cam Newton. He don't deserve that. Achilles says, I think the team will still be sorry as fuck, but at least the front office could learn stuff from Rodgers. There's a very good chance. I definitely think that's a very good chance. Again, I think at least Brett Favre retired and then came back and said, trade me to the Jets. This guy said he was thinking about retirement, but then decided against it, came back, and the energy was different. What do you think? What do you think changed the front office's mind, or do you think their mind was already made up? They were just trying to play nice because that is their quarterback, and he's that been a franchise.
The latter, I think the pack wanted to move on from Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years now. Now they're about to do it.
I think this was the year. I think last year they were probably like, look, we were average. And this team is only declining, and we've locked up a couple of guys for a few more years. If we're going to stink, we might as well stink with our guy that we drafted, so that way we know in about a year or two if we need to draft someone else. It's hard for us to keep doing this, Aaron, if you're still on the roster, because we know who you are, we know what you do, and we know as long as you're here, the mode is always going to be win now, win a championship. Cap wise, our cap isn't saying win a championship. Our cap is saying it might be time for a rebuild.
Yes.
So, but this is a good way for the Packers to compete and rebuild at the same time, because I feel like if they're competitive, then it's like, okay, maybe we can trade some pieces. Maybe we can trade some pieces and intentionally maybe look to bring in another piece for Jordan Love, considering maybe our receivers develop, but they're still not a clear number one. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we need to bring in a veteran wide receiver to help mold these guys. Like, I think the Packers are going to be in a decent spot. I don't expect them to compete next year, but truth be told, I don't expect any of these two teams in this deal to really compete next year.
That's fair.
Speaking of competing, we saw two men compete for the 170-pound crown in the UFC. Kamaru Usman and Leon Edwards finished their trilogy, with Leon Edwards having his hand raised unanimously. I mean, having his hand raised and still the champion via unanimous decision, which maybe to some surprised most after watching how Kamaru Usman dominated the second fight. But at the end, Leon Edwards has staked his claim as the king of the 170-pound division. So this brings me to a conversation that I wanted to have with you, Danny. When we step out from the UFC and we start thinking about sports matchups, and usually – we're talking about sports matchups that likely end in trilogies, right? We talk about Kamaru Usman versus Leon Edwards. We talk about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. There's a lot of matchups have given us multiple matchups of Titans, right? Of the same Titans. So in these sort of best out of two trilogies, my first question to you is, who has the advantage, the loser of the first matchup or the loser of the second matchup?
So I need a lot more context, but general rule of thumb for me is the person who won the second round, the second fight can walk into the third with more confidence, knowing they just beat that person. Now, again, there needs to be context. Like if it's fight two and the person who lost the first fight gets a lucky knockout, then I would say the person who won the first time. It's all dependent on the variables. But for me, I'd feel more confident walking into anything for the third time, knowing I just did it.
All right, so I'll paint a picture for you. This is one that's going to hit home, so please don't be mad at me.
Okay.
Eagles lost in the Super Bowl. We know next year.
I don't like this conversation.
We know next year the Eagles have to go to Kansas City to play again.
Yeah.
So let's just say that the Eagles win that matchup, but they win it by two.
Yep.
A two-point conversion to end the game. The Eagles and Chiefs match up again in the next Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Who has the advantage?
So my question would be, was it a day that Patrick Mahomes went off and threw for four touchdowns, or is it a day that the Eagles kept like him in check?
The Chiefs performed like the Chiefs. Okay. The Eagles performed like the Eagles. Very similar to the Super Bowl, only instead of the game-winning touchdown, it's a game-winning two-point conversion by way of the Eagles. Who has the advantage in the third matchup?
I would say the Eagles. I'd go back to, I just beat you in Kansas City. Now we're playing on a neutral field. Like, that would be my thinking going in. I'm sure a Chiefs fan would say, hey, that's not going to happen again. You got lucky with a two-point conversion. That's not going to happen. I would say if I were the Eagles, there's something to be said about walking into Arrowhead and beating Patrick Mahomes. Like, see, that still means something.
And to your point about Chiefs fans, I actually disagree, and I would definitely put the onus on the Chiefs in that situation. Yo, I beat y'all with a ring on the line. Then next year, y'all came to our house. We were still giving y'all that work for most of this game, and y'all skated by off a two-point conversion. Now on a neutral field on a stage where I've already beaten you with these lights on, and I've gotten y'all's best game in the rematch, in the second matchup, because that was the matchup y'all was mad. I think in that situation the Chiefs have the mental edge. They have the and I think they have the game plan edge. I got two of y'all's best games, and one time I beat y'all. The other time y'all won on a 2-point conversion. That game could have went either way. We are really the better team.
But I can say as an Eagles fan, you won the Super Bowl because Bradbury, you know, held him, right? Like, who I can say as an Eagles fan, if Jalen had the ball last, he would have driven down the field and won. If Quez Watkins would have caught that perfect ball from Jalen and they score, it's a different story. Like, I can say the same thing.
It's just like, let's take it to basketball in the NBA, 2015, Cavs and Warriors. Yep. Warriors win, but we all know what happened to Kyrie and K-Love. Next year, Warriors lose, but we all know what happened to the Draymond suspension. Yep. Really, that was it. That was the one thing they can basically hold their hat on was the Draymond suspension, although they still had a game 7, but the Cavs win. So they come back the next year, but this time the Warriors, not only do they spank them, they beat them down. Beat them down. Like, it wasn't close.
Well, they had Kevin Durant, though.
But see? So... But the Warriors could say, hey, y'all have LeBron James.
That's fair. I hear you. And it takes a lot of – there's a lot of context to each one. Like, for me, like, if I'm going in, I just beat you and I got to come beat you again. Okay, I just did it. It's coming from I beat you the first time. You beat me the second time. The counter for which you used to beat me the second time.
And I will say this. To the trilogies out here, and after this, we'll talk about some of our favorite trilogies, but to the trilogies out here where the person wins the first matchup, then loses the second matchup, then they come back and win the third matchup, I don't think people realize how hard mentally that is.
Yeah.
That is, like, and in all seriousness, when you win the first and the third matchup, after you win the third matchup, your mental is so – I feel like mentally, you probably feel like you're unstoppable because even your greatest – threat and challenge, because a lot of if you haven't really been a successful athlete and you haven't experienced a lot of success, you may not know what it's like to be at the top of your game and then lose and have to build yourself back up to be at a championship. That is hard, yo. Like, why do y'all think so many athletes will retire on top? Because in your mind, you can never guess what would have happened if I lost, because that thought never entered your mind. But when you do lose, well, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah. That's tough. So with that, Danny, can you give me one or two of your favorite sports trilogies? It doesn't have to just be in boxing. It could be in any sport.
So I did a lot of digging today. There's a theme with the ones that I picked. It's just someone getting ass beat. But one that really stuck out to me was the Spurs and Mavericks have played each other like 5 times in the playoffs, but I'm going to focus on the first three, 01, 03, 06. The Spurs beat the Mavs in 01 and in 03, but the Mavs broke through in 06. For those who don't know, that's the Dirk Nowitzki drive. He gets fouled by Ginobili. The ball spins on the hoop and falls. And Dirk hits his free throws, the Mavs, and that's when he goes to the finals. He gets cheated and loses to Dwayne Wade. We're just talking about the Spurs. That's probably my favorite trilogy. My second favorite trilogy, it's a tie, and they both deal with LeBron James. It's LeBron Wizards from 06 to 08, when he just beats the hell out of them 3 years in a row. And then LeBron against the Raptors, 2016 to 2018. He just beats the hell out of the Raptors 3 years in a row.
Yeah, LeBron versus the Raptors was definitely one of mine. It was definitely one of mine because I think mentally, from both the Raptors and the Cavs, right, the Cavs, when you're on LeBron's team all three of those years, after the second year, I know you're starting to think they have to have this figured out. They have to have this figured out in some way. And this guy in 2018 just single-handedly beat the Raptors. Like the Raptors easily should have won that series in 2018, but there was just a behemoth on the other side that they just could not get over. I think that speaks to the greatness. Another one I want to speak to, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. I think this speaks to your argument, right? Tyson Fury looked at that first fight and said, yo, you got me off that punch first fight. I'm going to give you that. But next fight, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just out technically box you in front of the world so the world can see when you can't knock me out, you cannot beat me. All right? So now after Tyson Fury was the second one, now it's the third fight. Now it's I'm going to embarrass you this time. I'd improved I can beat you. Now I'm going to just embarrass you. And boy, that third fight had Black people all across the country wondering if this was the correct Black History Month that one of our Black legends gets their asses handed to him like this by a white man from the UK, too. If he was a Black American getting beat up by a white UK person. We went back like 300-400 years back to Queen Elizabeth's glory days.
Not Queen Elizabeth.
The last trilogy that I really, really, really love, and I think this is just because of some nostalgia, Stone Cold versus The Rock. Stone Cold won the first two. Stone Cold won the first two. But the third match, this is when they were, I would say, a little bit past their prime, past their WWE prime, but their popularity was still at an all-time high. That's when they were straddling the fence of if they're still in WWE or if they're full-on movie actors, and they came together for that third one, and The Rock got his one, and that was all he needed. That cemented him like, yo, I'm one of the Titans. I'm one of the greats.
Rock has never beaten Stone Cold at WrestleMania, though, right? Or is that third one a WrestleMania match?
I thought that third one was at WrestleMania. I might be tripping.
It probably was. I know there was maybe it was after the first two. It was like The Rock's never pinned him at WrestleMania.
I think that's what it was. I think that was a storyline going into the third one. Yeah. Which shout out to Vince for letting The Rock get one, because like, could you imagine how he beat him like three times in a row? Other honorable mentions I want to mention here: Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Now I'm looking back on it, we probably will never get another Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match, but
for good
while we have it.
Listen, I think we really don't appreciate Roman, and we will once he's gone.
Yeah, once he loses his belt, we're going to really appreciate it. People, to all my WWE fans out here, to be the champion of the WWE, to be the WWE champion, you don't realize how hard you have to be able to carry that brand on your back.
The Undisputed, he's carrying both shows. Yo, last night he was spitting. Did you watch that promo against Rose?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Spitting that real. I'm over here like, Vince, just give him the belt for a little bit longer. Just let him get. But then
it's Triple H. Vince isn't running creative anymore.
Triple H, just let him shoot the belt for a little bit longer. But then I guess if I'm Vince, like, he's trying to build up Cody to be like this big hero, but I don't know. The belt is so much better when a heel has the belt.
Yeah. The bloodline.
Because when you're a face, it's like, we know you're going to find a way to win. But when a heel is the champion, it's like, yo, how are you going to fuck over someone in order to win?
Yo, breaking nothing better than the heel winning. And they go into the audience and see a little kid crying like, oh no, like the world is what I thought it was. Yeah. Best thing in professional wrestling.
My favorite type of heel championship matches, and it's the last thing I'm going to say on this, my favorite type of heel championship matches is when the heel has been getting their ass kicked for like 70% of this match and they get disqualified for using the chair. I crack up laughing every single time.
That's me.
Because I'm like, yo, dog, that's me. You probably would have done that way earlier in the match had you had the chance.
That is me. If I were a champ, I'm just going to walk in, grab a chair, beat you in the head. Hey, still champ. Got to go.
Oh, man. Speaking of championships, in college basketball, national champions are being decided.
Yep.
And the men's and women's NCAA tournament, I mean, we saw a lot of championship dreams die, and we saw a lot of championship dreams continue to live on. Let's start in the men's side, right? The Sweet 16 matchups are set, Danny. I need to know, which Sweet 16 matchup are you most looking forward to before we talk about our brackets?
So I'm going to make a confession. I forgot to fill out a bracket. So I've really enjoyed this because I don't have anything online. I'm just watching for fun. It is about that time for Gonzaga to be Gonzaga and show us that they're frauds. So I'm looking forward to the UCLA-Gonzaga game because Gonzaga is going to be Gonzaga. And then I'm looking forward to UConn-Arkansas. Listen, it's something about UConn. Like, once they reach a certain point, they're winning the national championship. If they beat Arkansas, UConn will be in the Final Four. I don't make the rules. I just know when UConn goes on a run, they go on, or the men's UConn team, because the women's UConn's on a run. When the men's UConn team goes on a run, they go on a run.
Yeah, that's true. Man, that is a good one. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I didn't have UConn. I thought I had UConn losing to VCU in the round of 32 just because mm-hmm. I was trying to show the 804 some love. Boy, I was wrong. VCU didn't even make that the first weekend. I will say, outside of the Gonzaga-UCLA game, Texas and Xavier is a really intriguing matchup. I think that's going to be a really, really good one. And I'm going to be honest with you. Creighton and Princeton, I'm very intrigued to see how Princeton comes back, being a 15 seed who beat Arizona, which threw off everybody. And then Creighton knocking off Baylor. I mean, I've been pretty high on the Big 12 throughout this conference. Not going to hold you. I had three Big 12 teams in the Final Four: Kansas State, Texas, and Kansas. Only two of those teams still remain. So who knows? But I thought the Big 12 was probably the best basketball conference in the country for most of this year. And then Alabama and San Diego State. I watched Alabama. I don't know if you watched the Alabama game, the Alabama games over the weekend. Alabama, to me, looked like the best team in the in the tournament. And they are. I think they're going to be dangerous. Like, listen, y'all keep making them jokes about, what's his name, Brandon Miller? Y'all keep making them jokes. I think that's only bringing him and this team closer and making them more mad. Y'all keep playing with fire and then getting mad when it burns you. Stop playing with them.
Let me ask you a question.
Talk to me.
Is Big East basketball back? Because three of the last 16 teams are in the Big East. Creighton, Xavier, and UConn, and Marquette just got ousted this weekend. So that's four. Like, is the Big East back? Are we talking about Big East basketball again?
I think when we talk a little bit later about a certain coach who just got hired to the Big East, I think we got to start looking at the Big East as a conference that might start putting – a couple more teams in the tournament consistently. And I'm gonna tell you like this: the Big East makes a strong comeback, y'all will see the downfall of the ACC. If the Big East comes back, y'all are going to see the downfall of the ACC. And if you ask me why, I'm going to say this: from a football perspective, you already have the heavy hitters already looking for ways to get out, because they're seeing the money that the SEC and the Big Ten is getting. From a basketball perspective, you're looking at the top teams, Duke, UNC, Syracuse, some of these other top teams. They're going to be looking at what their football program's doing, and they're going to say, hey, we can do something too. If I'm the ACC, I'm going to get ahead of that if I'm the ACC. All right. Staying in the bracket, let's shift over to the women's side of the NCAA tournament. I'm curious to know if you, one, did you make a bracket? And two, what does your bracket look like for this one?
I did not. For me, it was my bracket for the women's side. It's South Carolina. South Carolina is the best team in the country. It's just a matter of who they're going to beat in the national championship game. A piece of me wants it to be UConn because I want Dawn to kick Geno's ass in front of America one more time for a national championship. Or, well, I think if LSU and South Carolina meet, it would be in the Final Four. I think they meet UConn in the championship game. So I would love to see Dawn Staley beat Ken, beat up Malky and LSU, and then go beat Geno and just put this to bed that she's the best coach in the country. She has the best program in the country. So I didn't fill out a bracket for the women.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. So in my bracket, I have South Carolina going all the way to the championship game. I think as most people in America do, but when I watch them, dog, it's just, it's not fair. It's a bunch of grown women playing with girls. Like, Shout out to Don and that South Carolina program. They are some beast. I think for me, I mean, I would say I'd say 32. They said 32% of my bracket is right. I mean, and I got most of the see with the women's tournament. It's more likely that all the higher ranked teams or the lower seeded teams, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's easier for them to get to the path because you know the dominant teams from the non-dominants. It's like once you start getting to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, where you might get some upsets happening. I mean, but right now, I mean, I got South Carolina. I had South Carolina playing Oklahoma. They're playing UCLA. I picked Oklahoma to beat UCLA. I got Notre Dame and Maryland right. I didn't get Ole Miss and Stanford. I mean, Ole Miss and Louisville right. I had Stanford and Texas.
That Ole Miss game was...
I was not expecting
elation.
Was not expecting that. I didn't expect Colorado to beat Duke, but I also didn't expect Duke to play Colorado. I thought I had Duke playing Middle Tennessee State, believe it or not. I thought Middle Tennessee State was going to upset Colorado. And then on the other side, y'all see me. If you can't, y'all see me. Come on now, Virginia Tech Hokies. I got the Hokies going all the way to the Final Four. And I have them beating UConn on the way to do it. I'm not even giving UConn the chance to make it there.
I'm here for it.
I have Virginia Tech beating UConn and the Sweet 16. I mean, so in this the Elite weekend. Eight after, after they beat Tennessee. I think Virginia Tech is going to beat Tennessee. I also think they're going to beat UConn if they play them. But, I mean, that matchup, I wasn't too off. I had UConn making the Sweet 16. I had them playing UNC. Obviously, UNC lost a little bit, lost to Ohio State, who's now playing UConn. And then LSU, who I have in the Final Four playing Virginia Tech. I had them playing NC State. They're playing Utah, which is fair. And then I had this was the upset I think everyone was not expected. Miami beating Indiana is not what I had on my board at all.
Did you see the old girl hit those free throws and shush the crowd?
Yep.
Yo, Miami beat Indiana in both men's and women's, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. That's cool. Man, I just feel like, yo, as cool as everyone thinks it is to see these, 16 and 9, 10, 15, 16 seeds beat these one seeds, I am one of those people who pay attention to the reactions of the kids on the one seed, and you just see the devastation. And that why. Listen, being a one seed, unless you're like a South Carolina, is not a good thing. Being a 1, 2, or 3 seed, if you're not a South Carolina or an Alabama on the men's side, where you know you're just better than other teams, is not a good thing because you start feeling yourself. I'm like Tom Izzo's way. You give me a middle seed, watch us work. Just watch us work.
I just need just a 6 seed. I will say, if you don't watch any game or on the women's side, Iowa, Colorado, and just watch Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is a guard for Iowa. That girl is a fucking flamethrower.
Yep. She gets
she shot a 3 from the logo in the game against who they play. It wasn't Maryland. I watched that game. Dog, she scored
Georgia.
Yeah. At Georgia, dog, she scored like the last 25 Iowa's 26 points, something bananas like that. Dog. Like that.
So I actually have Iowa in my Final Four.
Yes, and you should.
The only problem with that is if Iowa makes it to the Final Four, the team that I think we all are anticipating them playing is South Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Her journey ends against Dawn Staley, but it's still a cool story. Like, we talk about Sabrina Ionescu and WNA being Steph Curry. No, Caitlin Clark shooting from the logo is very Steph Curry-ish. So just enjoy it while you can, because, yeah, if she runs into South Carolina, that's a wrap. South Carolina can put any lineup on the floor. They can play big. They can play small. They can play fast. It doesn't matter. Like, they can beat you however you want to be beat. So, like, just enjoy the ride, and if you see South Carolina, get ready for the draft.
Yeah. The other side of my Final Four, get this. I got LSU playing Virginia Tech.
That'll be a good matchup.
I'm ashamed to say I got LSU winning that one.
And you should. LSU is the better team, which is okay.
I got LSU winning that one. I got my championship game being South Carolina versus LSU again, which produced a lot of very close games. Well,
no. Yes. I watched the one that was in South Carolina. That was a good game. Aaliyah Boston will be number one pick in the draft. Let her go out on top.
Shout out to the South Carolina Gamecocks. Shout out to Don Staley. That's an incredible program they got over there. I'm looking forward to seeing the 16 and the Elite Eight. I think these are going to be some really, really good matchups on the men's and women's side. And I want to really encourage, if you enjoy the men's side, I really, really hope you're not doing yourself a disservice and not watching the women's tournament, because there are some really, really good basketball being played by the women collegiate basketball players. So shout out to everyone in the tournament, and shout out to everyone whose journey ended this past week. Hey, if there's one thing that I always learn in the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament is how proud a lot of these programs are just to make it there, win or lose. Like, you see the emotion in the press conference of these programs, guys crying, coaches crying. You guys got to know, like, I know a lot of people want their teams to go far. A lot of people get a little testy on these kids and these coaches after they lose. But a lot of people don't realize some programs, their biggest accomplishment of the season is just making it to the tournament.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Some teams winning a game in the tournament is their national championship. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
That's
boys at FDU, how it feels to beat Purdue.
Great. They're not upset though. I'm not gonna wish that. But just know, as they look ahead at their next matchup, they're thinking back to them Purdue boys, like, yeah, y'all thought shit was sweet playing us. Now what? So
they almost won the second game.
You're right. They almost did. All right. Let's shift over to the NBA.
Let's do it.
Right. In the Eastern Conference in the NBA, the Bucks and Celtics have pretty much – well, no, not pretty much. They have secured their playoff spot. So outside of the three the big three Eastern Conference teams in the Bucks, the Celtics, and we're going to presume that the Philadelphia 76ers, and by the next time we record, will have locked up their playoff spot. Outside of them, what trends are you seeing in the Eastern Conference as we look ahead – to the play-in tournament?
The only trend, I only took one note on the Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks are fun. That's all I had. Like,
you think so?
Outside of those three, I don't think the Knicks are going to make any noise in the playoffs. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're fun. I enjoy watching Knicks basketball, especially when Julius Randle is cooking. Jalen Brunson was a great addition. Though he, like, even though they lost, 50 plus burger, like, the Knicks are fun. And that, if you're a Knicks fan, that's all you can ask for, if we're being honest, is that your team is fun, and they're fun.
They're putting out a good basketball product, and they're competitive. Like, they're mad competitive. One trend I was noticing, though, the Brooklyn Nets might fuck around and hold on to that six seed, bro. They might.
That would be.
And I'm saying it's going to be a combination of other teams' ineptitude, but also the Brooklyn Nets' ability to win a game, like one or two out of every four or five games. The Brooklyn Nets are just finding ways to win games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they've lost three in a row, but they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. So, I mean, they might be on to something. Like, I think if the Nets are able to hold off the Heat for that six seed, and they can avoid the play-in tournament, then who do they get? They'll probably get they should get the Sixers.
It'll be 5-6. Right? It's 5-6, right? It's 1-8. That's 3-6, 4-5.
Yeah, 3-6, 4-5, 2-7, 1-8. So, yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. Whoever gets that 8 seed, you got 4 games, bro. 5 if the Bucks are feeling generous.
Listen. Be happy that you're in the playoffs, because if you're the 8 seed, that means you were in the play-in.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I'm the Celtics, I'm hoping that the Hawks fuck around and win that first. Like, if I'm the Celtics and I hold on to the 2 seed, my hope is that the Hawks are the 7th seed.
Yes.
I don't think the Celtics want to play the Heat, because that's not the best matchup for them opening round. Like, that's a 6-game series easily.
Or I would hope the Bulls find a way to string some wins together, maybe beat up on this Bulls team real quick, because they're the 10th right now, so they'd have to win 2 games to get in.
I don't know. Have you seen the Chicago Bulls play? They're off and on day and night. You just don't know which team you're going to get.
I haven't watched the Chicago Bulls since Eric Rose left.
What do you think the Bulls do about Lonzo Ball? You heard the story about him having surgery again, possibly being out for next season. Like, what do you do?
He's cooked. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you do. Like, do you just cut release him? I mean, his money's guaranteed, but like you can use that roster spot for something else. Like, if he's gone, like time to learn Chinese, buddy. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yo, Adam Silver should have never put that audio out there because now it can only be used against him. Let's shift over to the Western Conference. Oh, Bam. Okay, this is a good question since we're staying in the Eastern Conference. Bam asked in the latest Michael Jordan news that Michael Jordan is potentially looking to sell majority ownership in the Hornets. Bam is asking in the comments, is Jordan giving up on the Hornets? Bam, yes. He saw what the product was being put on the court in Charlotte, and he said, dog, I have 6 rings. I don't have to continue looking at this bullshit, and this bullshit does not have to keep coming out of my payroll. Get this the fuck away from me and let me come up a little bit because y'all suck. I feel like that's what Jordan said. Like, this team sucks. Y'all suck. I don't want nothing to do with this anymore. And it wouldn't surprise me if Jordan – listen to this. This is a hypothesis I have. Wouldn't surprise me if Jordan sells his majority stake because he's getting wind that the NBA may try to either move the Hornets or put a team, like add an expansion team in either Vegas or Seattle, and he wants all in being a partial owner for one of them. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if in a few years Jordan and LeBron co-own the same NBA team.
That would be something. I would not want to play for that team. That would be a very, very annoying boss. Dog, Jordan out there saw LaMelo in those Rick and Morty Pumas and was like, you know what? This ain't for me.
So you wouldn't want to play for a team that's potentially co-owned by LeBron and Michael Jordan? Like if they opened, like if they started a team, let's say in Vegas, Jordan and LeBron are the co-owners of this team. You're telling me you wouldn't want to play for this team?
Here's the thing about great players. I always think they're great. Like, they would show up to practice every time. So who want to play a little ball? Dog, nah. Nah.
Maybe LeBron. I don't see Jordan doing that. But
Jordan does it now.
I see Jordan more so being at practices and basically yelling at people. You either going to try, you either gonna try, or you guys ain't getting paid by me. Y'all done won 16 games this season. Thinking, coming in here, y'all making millions of dollars. Y'all only won 16 games this season.
Here's the thing about great players. Things that come naturally to them, they think they can coach it to other people. So Jordan's down there saying, well, why can't you do this? Sir, I am not Michael Jordan. I can't do those things. Same with LeBron. Like, I just can't imagine being in the gym and both of them dudes coming down there asking me why I can't do this or why I don't do that because I'm not LeBron James and I'm not Michael Jordan. That would be so annoying.
Well, you got to imagine the head coach. It would also depend on the head coach, right? I think the head coach that they hire would definitely have to be one that
intakes. The head coach going to be J.R. Smith.
All right, see, now you disrespecting this my potential franchise with Jordan and LeBron. They would not hire J.R. Smith. They would probably hire someone like who was the coach that helped them win that ring after Ty Lue got fired? David, what's his, whatchamacallit? Fizdale.
Fizdale's done.
The white dude with the nose. That dude. It'd have to be someone that LeBron and or Michael Jordan has been coached by. Phil Jackson is not coming out of retirement to coach this team.
You know what? High key, it might be someone like Chauncey Billups. Like, I can see them hiring a Chauncey Billups.
But that would assume you – now you're assuming that the Blazers want to let go of Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey – if we talk about 2-3 years down the road, Chauncey will be a free agent.
Well, let me tell you something. If Chauncey leave, Dame leaving. And okay, free Dame. Because I've been watching more Blazers games.
Nope. Ooh, we done whatever with this free Dame shit. He has made a choice. Dame has taken the money time and time again. I do not blame him.
He loves Portland too.
No, he doesn't. Dame, I saw a tweet and I thought it was kind of funny. It was like, Dame loves the money. He know they're going to be trash. He hide behind that loyalty. crap and then he cashes checks, which is genius. It's a great bag move. But we ain't freeing Dame. Dame don't want to be freed. Dame is making his money. He has no expectations. He's gonna go down to the greatest guards in history to never win a title.
But what about,
which is fine.
What about the notion that he don't really care about winning the title?
Which is cool. I don't care. Like, I think ring,